Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is April the 15th, 2010. This is Jim Hedger from Markley Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk. It's been a while. BeanstalkInc.com. Oh, my God, Dave.
Sure,
I screwed up again, bro. I'm sorry.
I know. It's a tough one. You know what? Because of it, though, I have bought, I don't know, every possible permutation of our name.com.
I'm helping you out, and I'm also helping, like, you know, GoDaddy's kids go through university. Right on, man. is good for the economy.
You want to just give the right URL, Dave?
Pardon me?
Yeah, Dave.
Go ahead, give the right URL.
BeanstalkSEO.com will get you there.
And we are here on WebmasterRadio.fm with the with another version or episode of Webcology. And, Dave, I'm in such an amazingly good mood today.
Uh-oh. So this means we can expect more hyper than normal from Mr. Jim Hedger, is it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Inadvertent staycation is over. Today is the first day of a new contract. And I'm just very, very excited to be back in the saddle again.
And as always, it's good to have you back.
Yay.
It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk on air. So, fantastic. Good to be back. And,
it's good having such a good and lucrative day. I was about to say, it's good having you back. It's been, what, 5 weeks, 6 weeks now since you've been on the air?
Yeah, no, it seems like a while, doesn't it? But it really, yeah, when I was talking to Brasco earlier, it's like, yeah, I guess it hasn't actually been that long. Feels like much longer.
Well, it's kind of like riding a bicycle. You don't forget how to do it, and if you make a mistake, you could hurt yourself quite badly.
True enough. All right. Well, shall we delve in? I mean, we might as well get to the reason that people are listening to us, which means that we can get to that spot where, the studio can make some money. And I don't want to go from pleasantries to advertising. So should we maybe delve in here, touch on some of the points of the past 7 days? Or
I think so. You know, the biggest thing I think that happened this week, it's actually a twofold thing. They're both about Twitter. Number one is Twitter finally comes out with a revenue model. And the other is the Library of Congress and Google are now archiving all tweets. Except,
yeah,
of course, for the commercial stuff. So, I don't know, man. What, let's start with Twitter's new revenue model. You know, promotional tweets, sponsored tweets. What do you think about this?
This is going to sound kind of pathetic to a lot of our listeners, but nonetheless, it's true. I'm a fairly light user of Twitter, so I mean my experience, and I can hear the chuckles already from the masses. So its impact on me personally is probably pretty light. Will I use it extensively? Probably not. Twitter's just kind of not my thing, and I'll leave that to experts. It can be useful. I like it for communications, but it's not the same marketing tool that it is for others, and I leave that to the experts in their fields. The thing that I do have to say I like about it, and it has nothing to do with the function, me as a marketer kind of thing, is I like that there's some strategy for monetization, and like a real strategy for monetization of it, and for that it's just, you know, if you can monetize something, it's going to stick, right? I mean, you know, Google, if they were just pure organic search and had never launched into AdWords, they wouldn't be around anymore, right? So you know, I do like seeing that. That's just purely from a business standpoint. But as far from the marketing angle, I'll leave the analysis of how that's gonna benefit for the experts to deal with. And of course, we're gonna have to see what it actually means, you know, sort of 3-6 months from now, and how it's being used as to whether it's gonna be good. If I start getting too many, though, it could be the death knell of Twitter. If I start getting all these promotional tweets from all over the place,
yep,
guess how long my Twitter account's gonna last. So.
Well, about as long as the lifespan of an average tweet, I'd imagine, like 5 seconds or so. Now, the thing is, I am really into Twitter. I love Twitter. I think it's an extraordinary platform for communication and a very good platform for marketing. As the medium evolves, you see more people, social media. I don't know if there really is a social media marketing expert out there, but there's a lot of people with a hell of a lot of building a lot of experience, and you know, you see them coming out every once in a while with tips for how to use Twitter. Excuse me. One of the things about Twitter is subtlety.
Mm-hmm.
You only have 140 characters, so you have to be concise. But people, you know, this is a conversational medium more than it is a feed medium. So, you know, you got to be really subtle with the message that you're putting out there, and the jury is out on how Twitter users are going to react to promotional tweets. I got a feeling that if used properly, it could be an extremely powerful tool. But again, the lifespan of the average tweet is about 5 seconds, and you're praying for retweet after retweet. You got to wonder about a technology when, like, it's just hard to talk about it because it's hard to pronounce.
You're
client report. Well, we got 3 retweets today, but you sound like an idiot. So
sounds almost like a Looney Tunes-esque kind of angle at things. One thing that I'm also expecting, though, is of course the masses of people, probably myself included, and I know because I have an iPhone, so I go to the iPhone store. I download a bunch. I'll download, you know, free apps, this and that. And I'm betting with the promotional tweets, we're going to see the same thing that I see over and over and over again, and it frustrates me in the iPhone store. Well, my store, is this, oh, why is there all this advertising? The advertising's invasive, blah, 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 to which every time I respond back, I mean, I like being advertised to as much as the next person, right? Like, if I can get something without advertising, fantastic, I'll like it. But if I've just got something that I find useful and it's free, and then you need to advertise to monetize that thing, it's free. Like, what possible complaint can I have? And I'm expecting to see that in Twitter as well once this goes through. You know, and we start seeing it out there, is that there'll be this backlash of, don't throw advertising at me. Well, if you want it for free, you're going to have to allow them to do this to monetize. I do wonder if you know, maybe down the road they would come up with a sort of paid monthly version, you know, whatever, $2.95 a month or whatever, where I wouldn't, you know, I'd be omitted from this promotional tweets campaign. You know, but
one of the original philosophies of Twitter seemed to have been to avoid advertising. And at one time they were talking about a business model that would charge the user X number of dollars per month to use Twitter. Right. I think this is just about a year ago now that I remember hearing this discussed. Obviously, that never took off. Once you give away a product that becomes so viral like Twitter for free, it's pretty hard to put that horse back in the barn again.
Yeah.
So now they're up with this ad model.
If you put out some advertising and then go, like, how much am I going to be worth to them as an advertising target, right? Like, probably, well, you called it. Like, a tweet is going to last on my tweet deck, what, 3 or 4 seconds, maybe. Like, I happen to be there at this specific moment, maybe it'll be effective, right? So I can't be worth more than probably 25, 30 cents max a month. So if you even came up to me and said, gee, if you want to be omitted, it's $1 a month, $10 will get you a year. And then we'll omit the advertising. So I'd pay it. For sure I'd pay it. So, you know, if they do it after the fact, like, yes, you can't just all of a sudden start charging me for something that was free, but you can start firing ads through. And then you can give me an option to get omitted from those ads for, like, $10 a year or something. So nominal that I don't even think about it. I go, frig, will you take PayPal? Great. And be done with it without even concerning myself with it. Well, if they can get, you know, a million me's out there paying $10, you know, suddenly that's a pretty decent revenue model, and everybody else, they can make their 25 cents a month or whatever they can manage to monetize the average user and be done with it. But, we'll see how it goes. I do hope if it gets rampant, if they want to keep me as a user, because I'm not locked into Twitter by any stretch, I find it convenient. But if it's not convenient anymore, you know, bam, I'm gone. So if it gets too rampant and they haven't given me an inexpensive option to get out of being advertised to in a bad way or in an intrusive way, then I'll be gone. So I think they'll lose a lot of their followers and a lot of their users if they do that. These users who just shout out into the dark and are doing their own, you know, promotional tweets, and we all know who they are. They don't last long on my friends list either, so...
Well, in the meantime, and here's something for search marketers and social media marketers out there. Keyword selection is going to become far more important when using Twitter. When you're constructing your 140-word character message, right now, people have been putting advertorial messages out there in the form of marketing over Twitter. We now know that for sure and for certain that Twitter messages are going to be archived. In answer to your question, Carrie, I don't know how far backwards they're going to go. Carrie asked if they're going to be going backwards for tweets, if they're going to have stuff that you put up in February or in March will be present in the index. I have no idea. But stuff that you're putting up as of now, then... according to Ogletree, posted by Brasco just a few moments ago, the U.S. Library of Congress announced this morning it will be acquiring the entire archive of Twitter messages back to March 2006.
Wow.
So, I guess a lot of those messages are going to be archived. Hey, all young people out there, don't do any sexting through Twitter. Trust me. Bad idea. Bad idea. But the Library of Congress by Anonymous.
Oops. I can only imagine it's funny because I see all the tweets that go out there. I mean, I know all the tweets that I post, and I mean, you know, there's a lot of useless stuff, and I just think of all of the incredible amounts of storage space that are being wasted on absolute crap in that exercise. But, you know, of course.
Well, dude, I mean, don't probably, we just call that the internet?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and we're all happy to, you know, I will happily weed through, you know, an hour of just absolute uselessness to find, you know, that 1 minute of, you know, gem information that makes my life easier, or makes my life better, or helps me help my clients faster. So, you know, I guess it's worth it, but, you know, we'll see how all that lands. We'll see if it even gets used very much. Like, I can't. Personally, I find Twitter quite helpful. I mean, I know, you know, heck, right down to, I noticed that there was a bunch of fire engines on one of the streets here in Victoria. You're not going to hit Google about it. The news people don't even have it. But sure enough, search.twitter, and I found out what was going on, because it's a fast source of information. But it's funny. I mean, they can archive it back. I don't use it for the archives. I don't care what Joe Blow said, you know, last year about X, Y, or Z. You know, what I care about is what's happening right now. That's what Twitter is. Right, is the here and now. So I'm sure, you know, maybe down the road I'll be eating my words and going, oh, hey, here's this useful thing I can do with Twitter now that I can look back 3 years. But
Dave, I know now that I can use Twitter to get to at least enhance organic listings for my clients just by driving traffic through it. If I want a specific landing page to rank better or a specific page in a client site to rank better, I'm just going to start driving, like, rocking loads of traffic to it using Twitter. We know that user patterns are a significant signal to Google and to Bing. Heck, I think there's a heck of a lot of experimentation to be done. And since we know that they're saving tweets and putting them up into the archives, we know that the value of every tweet is going to get stronger, and who knows? Maybe I'll be driving traffic through a long tail search result in the future via Twitter.
Now, the question that I would have for you and for our audience, if they want to ask it, or if anybody wants to run tests, and now that I'm thinking about it, I just might do this very thing. You bring up an interesting point of traffic behavior and associations and stuff, but that's all well and good that I can drive traffic to my site from Twitter. But how does Google or Bing know that is what it boils down to. Now, I personally have Google Analytics installed, but other than that, if I don't, and the vast majority of sites still don't, of course, the question or what I would put out there is, so what? I mean, other than traffic itself is valuable, if provided that it's useful, you know, targeted traffic. So, but traffic portion aside, from a search engine standpoint, if I'm driving a lot of traffic from Twitter, if Google doesn't know about it, so what? So do you have to install Google tracking, like Google Analytics tracking codes, to make this valuable? Just a question for those who might have an answer or want to run a test on this.
Well, I mean, obviously watch for Bitly or some sort of reference in your site logs. If you're running Inquisit, you'll have a very good indicator. If you know, of all the links that drove traffic into your website, and I think there's MozTools that do the same. So Edward, page one results, writes Bitly ? RIP Bitly. I'm curious what that's all about. I'm sitting here kind of figuring out what to say next, Edward, but if you could elucidate
does
on that
mean,
in the chat room, that'd be way cool.
Does he mean the fact of the they were given the hammer yesterday? Oh no.
Okay, don't look for Bitly results in your logs or in your analytics streams, because you very likely won't find them. Thanks, Edward. I appreciate that. That's very cool, man. Well, sitting corrected is a darn good time to...
Just get out and get straight to advertising. Is that what we're getting at?
Yeah, you know what, yeah. We're not. Incidentally, we do not sit corrected. Twitter apparently just threatened Bitly for one reason or another. While we're on break, we're going to look into that and try to figure out what TechCrunch has to say about that. Thank you, Edward. I love this. I can do this all in one breath. Check us out. Taking us to break here on Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Jim Hedger from Markley Media and Dave Davies from Beatstock SEO. You're listening to Webcology on April the 15th, 2010. Stay tuned. We got more great stuff coming up after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
XY7 in the affiliate market. Are you an affiliate? If yes, you'll pay me. No ifs, ands, or maybes. Get paid daily. Make a mad dash. Sign up as a flash. Quickly convert the click into cash. Affiliate marketing network is first place. I cut to the chase. It's all performance based. Listen to what I'm telling you, cause this what you better do. Join as a publisher and maximize your revenue. Think we agreed that money is what you need. Indeed, you can get paid from sales and leads. Not one thing lacking. Don't get it cracking. Even comes with state of the art tracking. Where did it start? You can do it a couple ways. 866XY7 page. It's toll free. Tell me what you waiting on. So log on to XY7.com.
What is this? Why is my website not ranking higher?
Well, sounds like you could use a link building report from SEOFox.com.
What's that?
You can't rank without good backlinks. And SEOFox.com's link building report lets you enter domains and compare their backlinks. It gives a detailed report that shows you why each domain ranks where it does, and it reduces the time it takes to find more links. With SEOFox.com's link building report, you can find more links, use their search marketing services to find more links, or better yet, they could even build your own backlinks.
So you think you're pretty sly with that SEO Fox link building report?
Sly like a fox.
Get your link building report today at SEOFox.com. That's SEOFox.com.
Staying ahead of the curve to deliver the best online marketing solutions you need. That's what the JAR Group is all about. The JAR Group offers a full-service suite of marketing and managing solutions custom-tailored for affiliate search and social media. The JAR Group uses their resources and research to help meet and exceed the revenue expectations of each and every client. Find out how the JAR Group can work for you at thejargroup.com. That's thejargroup.com. The JAR Group, online marketing with measurable results.
The WordPress Community Podcast, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on webmasterradio.fm. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Webcology here on webmasterradio.fm. It's April the 15th. It's Jim Hedger from Marketing Media, Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO. And Dave, how much do you think a Facebook fan is worth?
Ooh, good question. A fan. I don't know. What
guesstimate.
Am I selling?
Let's just guesstimate.
You know what? I think to me that's what it boils down to. As a global rule, I would say probably a dollar, maybe a little bit more.
Just a little bit. According to a report in Adweek that came out earlier this week, a Facebook fan is worth $3.60.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Dave, could you carry the show for a sec? I got to take this phone call.
I will assist there, Dave.
All right. Well, I'm going to get down to off on a slightly different tangent here, and getting off of Facebook here while Jim takes his phone call. To a post that I had come across over at DaveNaylor.co.uk. Now, I like it. This is one of his blogs from back on the 13th of April here, which is site speed is a ranking factor. Don't panic. Now, there's been, as we all know, the constant ebb flow debate. Is it a ranking factor? Is it not? You know, we can see it in Google's patents. So are they counting it, et cetera, et cetera? We can all see examples where the load times are incredibly slow on sites that are ranking well. We can all see cases as well where switching hosting environments to a faster one has also improved the rankings of a site. So just wanted to point out that A, it is definitely worth a read in this case. His post basically gears more towards, or the post gears more towards a, well, obviously by the title, don't panic, more towards a, you know, there's a mix in there. We've all seen it. What I wanted to add into the argument, however, or into the discussion, however, is basically the point of, yes, it may not be necessarily a contributing factor, i.e. it may not be something that Google looks at and goes, oh, well, yours takes X seconds to launch, yours takes Y seconds to launch, so we're going to just immediately come in and drop your site down if you're the longer one. But what they are taking into account, and we do know, is things like visitor experience, bounce rates, stick time. I mean, you don't even have to have Google Analytics installed for Google to know how long somebody is at your site. Google knows when they clicked. They know when the visitor comes back. So I'm sure, you know, I know for myself, I have a patience level. Now I'm on the Internet a lot, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners are as well. I have a patience level of probably a whopping 3 or 4 seconds when I hit at a site, and as people are spending more and more time online, that really is just kind of the way of it. So if your site is going to take 3 seconds to load, and I hit your site, and leases are loading and this and that. I mean, I've got a client who's, we're just moving them onto a different server just for this purpose. You've got my attention span for about 3 seconds. If your site isn't loaded, or certainly enough of it that I can actually get a good start and going in, and I know, you know, I go to click to an internal page and, oh God, it takes the exact same amount of, you know, it's still this lagging thing. I'm gone. So now Google has seen me click on your site, go through, and about, you know, I spent, you know, maybe a few seconds sort of looking, going, oh, okay, I want blue widgets. Click on this. This takes long again. Back, you know, 15 seconds later, as far as Google is concerned, I'm back and I'm clicking on the next thing in the results. So site speed itself may not be a, or site load time itself may not be a necessary GA plus B equals C, site speed equals higher rankings sort of phenomenon. But everybody here should care predominantly about our visitor experience. If the visitor isn't happy, the visitor is bouncing. Even if they didn't bounce, if the visitor is not happy, they're not going to buy. And if they do bounce, then that's where it's going to impact your ranking. So if your experience, I guess, is good enough, yes, it's not going to matter. I mean, if it's coming in, you know, your load time is slow, because, but everything's loading in. It's just this video, for example, that's taking a while to load, but, you know, the experience itself is fine to the visitor, then, yeah, in a case like that, it's just not going to impact very much. But if your visitor experience is affected by a slow load time and slow servers, you know, we need to step back and address that, because that's where you're going to get the ranking hit. So anyways, I read that. It's an interesting post. The information is interesting, but it just hits one of those cases, and there's data in there, and I'll be discussing how this exact point later when talking about Google's beta keyword tool here momentarily. But one has to understand that all data is fundamentally a lie. Not because data lies, but because data reflects a specific end that's being sought after, or a specific thing, without looking at everything around it. So I can look at a site that may be ranking with a load time of 12 seconds. Well, functionally, the site had loaded in half of a second, but this video was streaming in, because it was multiple megabytes, was streaming in after the fact for, you know, another 10, 11, 12 seconds after that. Well, that's fine,
Dave?
Because the video was still playing, the site was still loading, the load time isn't actually affecting the visitor experience. So,
hey, Dave, I just want to sort of jump in here.
That's a fantastic post to read.
Did I just get a great quote off of you? Like, did I just hear that correctly? All data is a lie? that's what Godin would say, dude.
The quote, yeah. It's funny, this has been a recurring theme in my life over the past sort of couple weeks, as I'm looking further into data, coming up with calculations based on Google trending data to figure out, okay, what does that mean per month and this and that, but basically having to reinforce the clients over and over again, and I'm seeing it here, and I've seen it, you know, numerous times, and I'm sure you have too, and Mark Twain saw it. So, you know, even before the internet, it was all there, is any data you have is based on assumptions. And it's based on, it's not based on necessarily what you think. And so we all have to understand what is wrong with the data that we have collected. What aren't we seeing in just a raw number? You know, for example, if we look at, you know, ComScore's metrics on search engine breakdown, and then we take a look at Google's metrics, estimated searches, you know, in a given month, and go, well, gee, that should mean X. You know, looking at ComScore's data, we know Google has whatever 65.5%. Okay, well then this search actually gets this inflated, you know, a bigger number. So, you know, it was 100, now it's, you know, 150 across all three engines. Well, that assumes that Google's search network got zero. You know, and so all of it was on Google.com, and then it assumes that my sector meets ComScore's overall generic statistics. So I, as an SEO, for example, I get almost no traffic from Bing, rightfully so. Nobody's looking up SEO services on Bing. But if I looked at Google's monthly data, and then I looked at, you know, and I went, oh, okay, and then multiply that by, you know, 18.8, and that'll give me Yahoo. Well, Yahoo has disproportionately less, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, Jim, Yahoo has disproportionately less in the search engine space, and Bing has virtually none. So all of the search volume data really is coming from, you know, for a phrase like SEO services, for example, the search volume data is really coming in from Google itself. So,
okay, woo! Did you do that in one breath?
You know, I think I did one breath and about four cups of coffee.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Wow. Woo.
This is the joy of quitting smoking, I guess.
I have like, oh, good for you. Congratulations, mate. I have like 6 or 7
different capacities back up, and now I can do a whole show without breathing.
I'm going back to the first point I want to sort of take a look at. Whenever Google makes a change and makes a major announcement, like something like site speed will affect your or site loading speed will affect your rankings. Mm-hmm. I always ask, why the heck are they doing this? Like, why would Google make this change? What's the point to it? So, what do you think? What's your best guess on site speed being so critically important ranking factor that Google actually has to make an announcement publicly about it?
The thing is, and again, I guess you're on the phone. The way I tend
why
to
would they say it? Come on, there's a reason.
It's an incidental. I mean, it is in, you know what I mean? I got a stack of Google patents. I can't remember specifically which one it's in. But they were talking about it. It had to be about 2-3 years ago, talking about site speed. From everything that I'm seeing, though, in sites that rank, sites that don't, and just trying to wrap my brain around what are they actually trying to accomplish and where can this go wrong? I.e., if they all of a sudden said, gee, site speed is an important factor. It's up there with title tags, right? Site speed is going to be, you know, put things to an extreme to see how the rules are going to play out. If they gave it a really strong weighting, you're going to end up with an environment where, say, sites high in video content are not going to rank well because they're going to take longer to load. You're going to end up
with
longer, more detailed, PDFs and these sorts of things, maybe on harvard.edu, not ranking because they're going to take too long. So if we take it to an extreme, we see that it becomes highly ineffective and in fact, takes away from the results. So I think what we're going to see is, Google's saying it, but I think to me what they mean is it's more in a visitor experience. Gee, if your site loads faster, I think they'll be tracking it more from the visitor standpoint than from a just pure, gee, let's run a ping test on this thing and see how it fares.
You know, I think I've been in the business end of the industry a little bit too long because I've become very cynical when it comes to resources that are used to achieve a certain goal. Cynical might be the wrong word, but for me, anything major that happens in technology right now is all about resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got this feeling in the pit of my tummy that that the water here in Toronto is bad. No, I got a feeling in the pit of my tummy that Google is looking at an emerging future of mobile. The stuff has to load fast because the storage capability of mobile devices is much lower, so you can't pre-cache a lot of stuff. And also, so many more people are accessing Google from portable devices. I mean, imagine setting up this incredible infrastructure. Maybe we'll call it Big Daddy, and just blowing out these thousands of high school sized data centers for an internet access device the size of a laptop or desktop computer, and then having the world shift on you with the release of the iPhone and iPod. And actually, you know what? I may be a little bit wrong because I'm underestimating Google's advanced planning here. I think Big Daddy and Jagger were partially about the world moving mobile, although the world hadn't quite gotten there yet. At least the North American world hadn't quite gotten there yet. But everything, every new major development coming from the engines right now, my very first reaction is going to always be think mobile and then start deconstructing it. And I'm pretty sure page load and load speed is all about, you know, serving up data on portable devices.
You know what, to that end, yes, you may be. I mean, let's ask Cindy Crum, and she'll have been beating us over the head with this not 3-4 years ago. But basically it is important to have a mobile version. I do think, there is conservation of resources. But I think Google is sophisticated enough and wants a good user experience enough to put in place detection systems to go, okay, I mean, we know that they know, are you a mobile, right? I mean, they'll feed me different ads in a different interface.
So if on the back end they're running systems to go, okay, if you're on, you know, a broadband network, you know, if you're your average user, if you're on a PC, non-mobile device, okay, here's, you know, here's the regular results. I can see, and then, you know, I guess, you know, mobile, I wasn't really considering it when making my statements on speed tests. I can see, yeah, in the case of mobile, them going, what we need is something light and fast, because I can't even count the number of times I sat there on my bleeding iPhone going, oh, for the love of God, and then realized, ooh, I was looking at my own site. You know, and my own, you know, I'm frustrated with my own load times on mobile. So I could definitely see them going, okay. And I mean, Cindy's shown me some great examples when we run into her conferences of, you know, her site, here's what it looks like here, here's what it looks like over here. And I'm sure Google will happily put in detection systems to go, okay, they've got a nice light version of their site. Let's rank this thing. So I think it's sends out the point that a lot of our listeners and a lot of our clients and you know, people on the web really have to take a look at their client base and ask themselves, would my client search this mobily? I have clients that I'd go, yeah, in a heartbeat. And then you have clients where you're looking at going, no, this is, you know, you're not looking this up. An administrative staff is, and they're going to be sitting at work because they're not thinking about this in their car on the way home, right? Like where this is, you know, you're looking up promotional items or something, right? Where it's, chances are, you know, it's going to be looked at statistically anyway, looking at their statistics, it's looking being looked up traditionally on PCs, generally during work hours, whereas you can get into some things, and I've got other clients where they actually would gear more towards mobile. These are things that people would think about when they're out and about. Restaurants would be a good example there. And so should they have a mobile site? Yes. And should Google feed the different, you know, impact the results for mobile based on that? I know I don't even really love looking at my own site when I'm on mobile. Now, at the same time, all of my competitors are kind of doing the same thing. We've all got these bulky sites that are geared more towards PCs, but I'm an SEO. Well, people are looking at this during business hours. So,
you know what? Here's my great quote of the day. And if I'm really hoping I'm accurate in this, and if there's a takeaway from this show for anybody, it's this, folks. It's 2010. Every website is a mobile site from now on. That's just the way it is. Hey, Dave's saying that there's an include, which makes it easier to make it mobile capable. I'm saying, you know, you might want to be looking into a mobile development company specifically in for the next couple of years until, you know, designers themselves, traditional SEOs, traditional web designers, really get the hang of this.
There is a company I'd like to recommend, but I'm not going to. This is a job for professionals. I hope I didn't go there. I'm just hoping that people don't think, here's this huge undertaking that's going to be enormously expensive. You know what? If it's built properly, and I shouldn't just say includes, if it's built generally, hopefully with includes, using cascading style sheets as a main structure, i.e. it's tableless, it's not going to be the same job as if you've got, you know, some Miva merchant site from you know, 2003, and now you're trying to get this thing converted over. In which
funny
case,
you should say that.
It's going to be costly.
Okay, you know what? That's a four-letter word right today in my world, and I don't even want to go there. And one day I might even tell you why. I'll love to our friends up there with that four-letter word and named company. Okay, Dave, we are EE time here. It's now 20 minutes to the top of the hour, so we got to do another one of them commercial breaks here so that everybody can be happy and eating pudding and stuff, right? So you're listening to Jim Hetcher from Arkland Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO. You're at Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. Stay tuned, friends. We got some really fun stuff after these really fun commercials.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
What is this? Why is my website not ranking higher?
Well, sounds like you could use a link building report from SEOFox.com.
What's that?
You can't rank without good backlinks. And SEOFox.com's link building report lets you enter domains and compare their backlinks. It gives a detailed report that shows you why each domain ranks where it does, and it reduces the time it takes to find more links. With SEOFox.com's link building report, you can find more links, use their search marketing services to find more links, or better yet, they could even build your own backlinks.
So you think you're pretty sly with that SEO Fox link building report?
Sly like a fox.
Get your link building report today at SEOFox.com. That's SEOFox.com.
How would you like to not ever have to deal with a gatekeeper again? Can't find the direct contact for the decision maker? Stop calling the main directory, because now there's Lead Researcher from eGrabber, the one-stop source for finding contact information online. eGrabber finds email addresses or lets you find people with their email address. Just look up a company name and eGrabber gives you a complete list of names, IDs, email addresses, and phone numbers that you need fast. Think of the time that you'll save with Lead Researcher. Learn more about Lead Researcher at www.egrabber.com/WMR. That's egrabber.com/WMR.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
State of Search, your home for the latest search marketing news and views of the world. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the International Marketing Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Okay, did you know that there's a Webcology drinking game? I discovered that before our last break.
I did not know that.
I know it figures, eh? I discovered that when Kerry said that whenever you use like Google and Signal in the same sentence, you have to take a shot. And I think we want to add another word to the Webcology drinking game, and that is Rickroll. Anytime you hear the phrase Rickroll in any circumstance, you should take a drink.
What word was that, Jim?
Rickroll.
All right, so that's three inside of a minute. I think you've safely got everybody sick now.
Just doing my bit to keep the SEO in. Just doing my bit to keep the industry a little bit more interesting and saucy. Dave, we've been putting this off because, you know, we might have to say Google and Signal in the same sentence or something, but there's a new tool from Google that, you know, might help you understand some of the signals you give it. The new Google keyword tool. What is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been around for a little while, but I've just had we've just been using it much, much more often, and actually up in Canada it came a little later than down south of the 49th. But even though actually technically I am south of the 49th parallel, but I think you are too, aren't you, Jim?
Oh, yeah, way south, man. Like, Toronto is about on line with the California-Oregon border.
That makes sense. But yeah, I mean, for those not aware, for those who mistakenly, and I can give you a completely different lecture here right now, don't do your keyword research, you know, at least kind of regularly. I'm not talking, run your keyword research tools every day. But, you know, once every couple months might be a good idea to just make sure that you're still, you know, doing the right thing for your company. Anyways, I've just had been really recently going in and using the new version. Now it's in beta. I'm really getting a feel for the differences between it and the other one. And for people who are not familiar with the Google AdWords tool in beta, go test it out, use it. Now, what I have found really, really unique about it isn't so much the data it is providing. The data that we're seeing is the same, is at its core, the exact same data you were always seeing. Your estimated searches per month, for example, or global searches per month. You're not going to see anything shocking, but what I really liked was for the layperson, people who haven't experimented with the different features, you know, in the old version, you know, hide this column, add this column, et cetera, et cetera. What they have done on this one is really made everything a lot clearer for a lot of people. And by that, I mean, there's a few points that I've really, really enjoyed. And when I say enjoyed, again, most of it is data that was always there if you knew to look for it. But I know when I send, you know, a client looking at this, or when a client, once this actually goes and is the primary form, when a client's looking up data, I know that they're going to be looking at the same things that I find to be important. One of my big ones that I just love that they've made it clear, it was always in the, well, not always, but it's in the live version right now, is the local search trends. So basically it's a graph that appears to show you, gee, here's how this looks each month for the past 12 months. So over a year, here's what you're looking at. Something that I found misleading for quite a while in a lot of cases is people who would go in, they would run their searches and go, okay, you know, here's my search volume for March. Fantastic. That's a great phrase. And here we get into my quote of the day, which is data is a lie. And here's why. First, when we look at data like that, when we look at just here's my data for last month, A, we may have trending data, right? We may have data that is just in this month. You know, if you're a common, you know, I love going to Whistler. I guess all of our regular listeners certainly know that because I've done shows from there. When I look at their data, they're going to be a lot heavier in sort of the fall and winter for, you know, accommodations-related phrases, you know, as opposed to, say, summer. So you want to see what's going on from that aspect of things and how does your data fit in. You may be looking at a low number, but if you can look at this trend and go, okay, it's low right now, but it's low because it's spring, right? And in the, you know, how does that compare? Oh, well, you know, it goes up by 8 times in the winter. Okay, it's still a good target, sort of thing. Or something that I found really unique in using this data is that you'll all of a sudden see these one-month spikes where either some, you know, overzealous SEO is just hitting ranking reports like every hour or something like that and just bombarding this query up, or somebody's trying to mislead their competitors, which could also be a possibility, and is setting these queries coming in and driving up phrases that don't really get traffic. But you'll see these spikes up on certain phrases for a month that really just offsets the total. So it's always been available in the current one, but in the beta version, it just shows up by default. And this is what I love, is that everybody can now look. I mean, I've put in SEO services as the example that I have showing up here. And when I look, I've got SEO expert, one of the ones that just happens to be showing up as a keyword idea. I see that back in, you know, looks like February, it got 100%, you know, like the bar is all the way to the top. It doesn't give a number for this one, but the bar is all the way to the top, and every other month it's flat. Well, they're coming in at, you know, 18,000, you know, estimated searches a month. But there's this one month where they were really, really high, and other than that, they're virtually flat. So what does that tell me? It tells me the data's wrong, right? And so to put this in front of the average person who doesn't know, gee, I need to go into this drop-down and hide this data or show this data, to just put it right out there, I think is fantastic, because everybody will get to see what is the real data. It's obviously going to help PPC, but more to my point is it's going to help organic, where you're trying to select over multiple months. And then over on the left-hand side, they've actually got lists of areas where you can go to sort of filter down further your results, which to me is just absolutely fantastic. Not so much in an industry like mine, but if you were, I mean, the top one here is categories. Let's say you install Windows for a living, and you want to rank for Windows installation. The data that's going to show up is going to be useless to you, right? I mean, we all, I mean, if I looked up personally Windows installation.
Unless you get the blue screen of death.
But when I'm looking at the keyword data, like global, you know, search volumes and stuff like that, I'm going to get just a mess of data. Like that's just kind of the way of it, right? I mean, I'm going to get everything from people like me who need some new Windows, to or you know, or to people who are having a problem. You know,
my entire computer is dead. I don't know how to install my Windows, and you know, I'm on my laptop now. So you're going to get this mix of different data. Now you've got categories. You can filter down, get new keyword ideas by category. I think my favorite thing, though, is that they also now have a contains. And again, this is all stuff you could do. They've just made it nice and clear and easy to do, where you can choose different keywords for it to contain. So you can say, I don't want it to contain, you know, because it's listing a whole, like it's listing like a thesaurus. So I can say, I don't want it to contain search engine marketing. I don't want it to contain these things, but I do want it to contain these things. And then the difference between broad, exact, and phrase match are much clearer on the new ones, which I think is going to help a lot of people sort of clarify. I can't count the number of clients I've had and people, you know, just calling in going, wow, it's got, you know, 1,100,000 searches per month. This is just fantastic. Yeah, it's on broad match, right? Click exact. Oh, it's only like 10,000. Yeah, that's right. So I think just having it a much, much clearer there will, people may not by default understand that difference, but at least they'll know to ask. They'll see match type and go, what is this match type? So one thing I would like to see them add, though, is like a little, you know, question mark beside that that'll help people, you know, maybe answer the question, what is the difference between these different matches? At the same time, you know, we all have to understand that this is an AdWords tool. It's people who are, Google's not catering this to organic SEOs, right? This is catered, and the purpose of it is to help people with their AdWords campaigns. So somebody running an AdWords campaign is going to understand broad versus exact versus phrase. Or if not, in their campaign, they can find out that difference. So I don't know if they'll make it clear, but I'd like to see them do it when this thing goes.
Yeah, serious monologue there, brother. Wow. I'm usually the guy who rambles on and on and on and on and on. We've only got a few minutes left in the show, but I think, Jillian, important points you made there. One that I want to throw in, which is actually I'm taking off from Alan in the chat room. Always confirm Google keyword stats against real world conversions, like, and against other analytics as well, because you don't get a full picture looking at only one source. My next great quote is, lazy analytics is bad analytics. You're getting bad information, that gives you a bad roadmap. You have a bad roadmap, you're going to drive off a cliff. Or worse, much worse, drive your client off a cliff.
Indeed.
Not that you did.
Well,
at
something
all,
that
at
I
all,
have found
all.
Useful as a
there.
Closing
double,
tip
triple,
on this is,
check.
If you want to verify your data, get a second opinion on your data. I shouldn't say verify because all data is a lie, right? But start yourself, before you go into an organic campaign, start yourself an AdWords campaign. Bid yourself onto the first page for your potential phrases. You may take a loss. That's just the cost of doing business here. You may take a loss short term, but count your impressions. And then that's going to help you get a better idea. Now people will be viewing the same page twice, right? Like you're going back and forth. You look at number one, go away, come back, sort of thing. But it'll at least tell you whether this data is kind of right, or whether
it's from Google, so it's probably kind of right. Like seriously, and then I mean, like another thing we got to keep in mind here. Not that Google lies. I'm not saying that they do, because like you know, far be it from me to say anything bad about Google. But it's not necessarily in their interest to give us SEOs the most accurate information. It is in their interest to push us towards strongly converting keywords. But that just might be me being paranoid. Who knows?
We didn't talk about today that I really badly wanted to, but we're not going to have time to.
Local search. Everything's local, man. All search is local, I believe. Well, very soon at any rate. But Dave, we got to go.
We
have a full lineup following us, including Affiliate Marketing Insider, which is coming up directly after us, and Office Hours with the one and the only Ms. Vanessa Fox. And, I don't really want to stand in the way of Affiliate Marketing Insider or Office Hours, because those are some very powerful women I'd be standing in the way of, and far be it for me to do that.
Oh, well, Jim, before you preface, well, because last week Linda did announce it was her last show, so it's now Wade Sisson that takes over. So now it's male-female, actually.
Hey, excellent. Well, Wade's a great guy. Linda, yeah. I missed Linda's announcement last week.
Yeah, that's Wade is officially the new host.
Person.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? Wade works with Linda, so you're still getting information from inside that organization, and that's good information to have. Friends, on behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, this is Jim Hedger from Arkland Media. You've been listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm for April the 15th, 2010. We will be back next week with a fresh and a fun episode, and we'll be drinking our coffee first. So stay tuned to Webmaster Radio, and we love you all. We'll talk to you next week.